Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
So good to see you this morning. We have a very special friend, special guest this morning that I don't even want to use the word guest. He's a part of the family. We have something in common that's very precious to him and I. It's just that we share the same apostle, same spiritual father, and if you don't know who he is, he's a powerful, mighty man, mighty, just amazing. So much I can say about Apostle Damon, but I really felt like Bryn needed to be with us. I'm going to introduce him in just a second. A few months back, I really felt like the Lord was saying, bring in some of the brothers that are a part of the family, a part of the same tribe, whatever your language is that you want to call it, part of the family as we call it, into the house to really help make a deposit, especially into Canada, because Canada... I know that many people kind of forget about us way up here, don't they? And I don't like that. I believe God has a purpose for this nation. I believe he has a plan for this nation. And, you know, oftentimes we up here in the north look at ministry and we look across the border, and oftentimes it's very big and it's grand and it's explosive, and that's not always the best thing. But one thing that I want to do is bring in trusted friends to really help build with us, help make a fresh deposit, help move us forward. And I know Bryn's here to do just that. He pastors City Revival Church, and it's in Kannapolis, North Carolina. And so, Summit family, if you guys can stand to your feet as we welcome Pastor Bryn Waddell this morning. Bryn Waddell is coming in at 6'4". Got his Cayman boots on, ready to preach today. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Oh, what a joy to be with you today. Obviously, excuse my accent. I'm not only an American, I'm a Southern American. And from the great state of North Carolina. So it's just a joy to be with you today. Really honored to be able to come to this homestead in Edmonton. And just maybe just help a little bit and deposit something in your heart that would benefit you. God is good, is he not? Let's just take a minute and just close our eyes and just let's just thank him one more time. Can we do that? Can we just open our mouth, if you can do that for me, and just begin to thank him for his goodness. Just begin to thank him for his kindness, his goodness to us. And it's just an amazing thing what the Lord is doing. And Lord, we're just grateful today. May we be a grateful people, Yahweh. May we be a people constantly grateful for what you have done, the goodness of the Lord that's on display in our midst. And Lord, we're just grateful today. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful for a house in Edmonton that's pursuing revival. Lord, I'm thankful today to come to the great white north and find a house where people are hungry for the move of the Spirit of God. That alone is enough to be thankful for. Come on. Come on. I'm thankful for that, Lord. Thank you that you sent two leaders here, Lord, to pioneer and build and then settle in a homestead, Lord. Thank you for this, Yahweh. We're grateful and we honor you and we honor them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. I want to say one thing to you. There's a couple things been mulling in my heart before I jump into the maybe the message of what I want to share with you. But there's a story in Luke chapter 10, and this is not really my sermon, but I feel it's important to share it with you. I always try to do this if the Lord would lead me when I visit places. In Luke 10, I'm going to read just a couple verses out of the Passion. Well, I'll just tell it to you. Jesus is taking 70 people, and he's dividing them into groups of two, 35 groups of two. And he tells them, he says, I'm going to send you into cities that I plan to visit. Don't you hear that language? He said, I'm going to send you groups of two into cities that I plan to visit. Okay? He said, I know, our personality is probably different. I'm used to people talking back to me. I get it. It's okay. He says, I'm going to send 35 groups of two out into certain specific cities I am intending to visit. And he says, when you get there, when you get to those cities, you tell them that the kingdom that you've heard about is now as close to you as your hand. That's what it means when it says the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is, it's within your reach. You can now touch it. You can now grab it. It's within your reach. I find this to be a fascinating statement from Jesus. Because what he's telling his disciples to say is to tell people that when they showed up, his kingdom showed up too. So he has the guts, Jesus has the guts to tell his disciples, you have the boldness, not pride, but the boldness to declare out of your mouth that when I walk into a city, the kingdom comes too. He said, I'm going to send you into these cities. And he said, this is what he said. He said, you're going to go in and you're going to tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And if you go into a house and you find a brother of peace there, you leave your peace with them. If there's not, you take your peace back. It's a fascinating statement. He says, and then you eat what is done before you, you minister to them. And he said, but if they reject you, he said, this is what you tell them. You tell them, basically, it would have been better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. For you have rejected the kingdom of God. How did they reject the kingdom of God? They rejected the two people God sent. What I'm trying to get you to see just quickly is Jesus even said, the kingdom is not an ethereal thing in the sky. Jesus said the kingdom is within humanity. Born again humanity. The kingdom is within you. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we, let me get to the point, the end of what I want to tell you before I start sharing with you. Jesus ends up telling those disciples at the end of Luke 10, this is what he says. Think about this statement. Jesus says, whoever listens to you is listening to me. And whoever is listening to me is listening to the Father which sent me. But those that reject you are not rejecting you. They are rejecting me. I think it. Many people don't like what I'm saying, but it's okay. I believe that God sent two people to Edmonton. And those two people, in my opinion, are Chris and Nikki Mathis. Now, it's easy for us to read the Bible and go, yes, but it's a lot harder when living epistles stand before us. And I tell you that when Chris and Nikki showed up, the kingdom showed up with them. And listen, what's harder to say for many people to hear is, and when you listen to them, you are listening to him. And when you listen to him, you are listening to the Father. But if you reject them, see, many people say, I love Jesus, I just don't like leadership. Impossible. Impossible. That's an impossible statement. That's absolutely, completely unbiblical. Because Jesus said, it's just like the man. There's a parable. I'm saying this to just give honor where honor is due. There's a story in the Bible where a man rents out his vineyard to a group of people, and he goes to check on that vineyard. It's really the story of Christ coming to the earth. It's a picture of Christ coming to the earth. But he says, I'm going to send people to check on my vineyard. And he sends, and those people reject him. The people that now are renting the vineyard reject him and ridicule them. And then he goes through multiple things where he sends people. And then he says, well, I'll send my own son. And surely they will respect my son. He sends the son, and the Bible says, obviously, it's the story of Jesus. They ridicule him, they kill him, they beat him, and they don't care about what's in it. I'm telling you that there is a father who sent two of his kids to the city of Edmonton for one purpose, that the kingdom of God may be established. And I believe those two people deserve honor. Not simply because you love them, but because you love the God that sent them. So let's bless them today. I just feel like it's right. Yeah, that's good. I like that you stand. That's good. And just bless them today. Yes. 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 It's good and right. That's right. That's right. That's right. It's good and right. If we took that approach to leadership, this nation alone would change. So would America. That when two people that come, it's God that sent them. And many people say, well, I just don't like the leader. The problem with that is you're basically saying, I don't like the God who sent him. It's funny to me. Maybe it's not like this in Canada, but in the South where I'm from, a lot of people love Jesus. They just don't like his representatives. Or they think they know more than his representatives. And so I encourage you to take your honor for these two people. Well, brother, I don't want it to be man worship. It can't be man worship if you're honoring the level of presence and glory on and in a group of people. By honoring them, you are honoring the Lord. So I want to tell you to take your honor to a whole new level. I feel to say this in your homes. When you're standing with your children and church becomes a topic, I'm telling you what ought to come out of your mouth is words of honor and building up. Well, I didn't really like what he said this past Sunday. That's great. That's great. But God told him to say it. So it would actually be more accurate for you to say, I didn't really like what God had to say. But we wouldn't say that. Come on. Come on. So can we agree today? We're friends. We're friends now. Can we agree from a southern boy to a northern people? Can we all agree today? We're gonna honor who God sends us. Yes? Come on. Amen. Okay. Wonderful. Well, I thought I may sing something, but I don't think I'm going to, Nikki. You want me to sing a chorus of it just for you? Okay. Play that Defender chorus, whatever it is.
Hallelujah, you have saved me so much better.
Okay, I'm not the one. I just told all these people to honor you, Nikki.
Hallelujah, great defender. So much better your way. 'Cause when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up on my pieces, put me back together.
Yes, you did.
You are the defender of my heart. Oh, and when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up on my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Let's say so hallelujah right here.
So hallelujah you.
Beautiful. Yeah. Come on, sing. Sing, Canada.
No much better your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah. Sing it to me and close your eyes and just you and him. Come on, say.
Hallelujah, you have saved me so much better your way. Oh, hallelujah, great. So much better your way. 'Cause when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me, and you reintroduced me to your love. You picked up on my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart.
Just the voices, hallelujah, one more time.
So hallelujah, you have saved me so much better your way. Oh, and hallelujah, great defender, so much better your way.
Come on, can we just praise him with joy, clapping, lifting of hands, lifting of voices? Come on, can we do that? Yeah, we're a happy people, Lord. Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven him. Yes. Awesome, 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 awesome. Let's open our Bible. Can we do that? Can we, or open your phone, whatever. Whatever you want to do. Let's open our Bible to, I got about 42 things in my heart I could share with you. Real quick, make sure. Okay. Make sure I'm good on time. When I have traveled, I used to travel extensively. I don't do that anymore. I'm now a wonderful husband of one and a dad of three. I heard a comedian that I think over the years has been hilarious. He may even be Canadian, Dana Carvey. And Dana Carvey was asked one time, they asked him, they said he was getting older, he was getting up in age, and they asked him, they said, you know, what do you want to be? You've done stand-up comedy. You've been a comedic actor. You've done a lot of different things. And he said, this is what he said. He said, there's 7 billion people on planet Earth, and only 3 can call me dad. He said, so whatever anybody else calls me is up to them, but I want to be known as dad. And I have the joy of being a pop to 3 beautiful babies, Jocelyn, Grayson, Olivia, and Silas Jedediah. He's a boss. Little blue-eyed boss. Fair-skinned, blue-eyed boss. And my wife Jen sends her regards. And just grateful to be with you today. As I traveled, I don't anymore, like I said, because now I'm a full-time pop and husband. And I love staying home. As I traveled initially, I began to find something, especially in a revival company of people. I love revival. I love the message of revival, although I do believe that revival is not the end of the matter. I believe the revival is an entrance into a lifestyle called the kingdom of God, that it is a doorway for us. It is an outpouring of his spirit to give us grace to enter in to a new dimension and paradigm of thinking that would then change the way we live every day. And as I would travel in revival culture and people that were hungry for revival, even people that were passionate about prayer and worship and the move of God's Spirit, I would find a common thread, though. I would find that there was something I believe is very significant. I believe it's also significant to the Lord, was missing. And I don't say that from a judgmental standpoint. I say that from an analyzation standpoint, where I just simply took inventory of the things I've seen. Yeah, I want to tell you something. It's not mean-spirited if it's math. What I mean by that is, if you're playing a basketball game or a hockey game? Okay, game, not a match. Okay, I want to make sure. Okay, if you're playing a, let's just use about, I don't know about hockey. Okay, let's just use about, if you're playing a basketball game and you get to the end of the game and the score is 100-75, the people that have 75 shouldn't turn to the people that had 100 and say, that's just mean-spirited. You, I can't believe you treated me that way. It's just math. You lost. They won. It's not personal. And many people get offended at things people say when some things are just math. And so as I traveled, I would see something missing in the companies I would be a part of, I would go to visit and minister to. And it wasn't personal. It wasn't an indictment upon them. And actually, what I seen was missing was an invitation for them into greater things in God. And so as I traveled and began to see different things, this is the main thing that I seen was missing. And it may seem simple to you, and this may not be revelatory to you, but I believe it's important to you and to God. One of the main things I seen missing was faith. I seen prayer. I seen passion. I seen worship. I seen exuberant, demonstrative passion on display in worship, but I didn't see much daily faith. a steadiness of heart that simply just believed God. Being full of the Spirit does not mean you live on an emotional roller coaster. Living on an emotional roller coaster usually means you're schizophrenic, not Holy Spirit filled. And many people will blame their emotional instability upon being led by the Spirit. But God is calling us to a level of stability in a root system so that, let me explain to you like this. I have a very large tattoo on the right part of my arm here and one here. I'm not really a tattoo guy. I'm not a tattoo guy, but I woke up one morning and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to get something here and something here. And what I got here was, I got a tree. There's a big tree with a river underneath it, and there's three little humans on the branches of the tree. And the reason I have that is because it reminds me of who I'm intended to be. Because Psalm 1 says that there's some qualifications of a man. And the Bible says that man will be like a tree, planted by rivers of living water. There's a principle in Scripture, if you will realize it, it's called like as, where God will use natural things to describe to you spiritual realities. It's honestly, you can learn more about the kingdom from a farmer many times than you can a preacher. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why would you want me to be a tree? Why are you telling me to be a tree? And this is what he answered me, so your kids can climb on you. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you wouldn't let your children go in your backyard and climb on a tree that was not rooted and founded. This, why? Because there's danger that another generation could fall off and be injured. The same is true spiritually. God is calling a group of people to become so rooted in God, steeled in their emotions, understanding who they are in the mind of Christ, so that another generation can climb on them. And if I'm the tree and my kids can climb on me, they can see things I would never be able to see. Now, I'm a big boy. 6'4", 285. It's actually a little more than 285, but that's the number I like to stay at. 6'4", 285. Okay, so I'm a big boy, but the reality is I can only see so far, but you stand on my shoulders and you can see much farther than me. And this is what God is calling a group of people to do, is to lay down their life to become so rooted in God that another group of people could stand on you without having to worry, I hope my leader's not having an affair with his secretary. I hope that they're really who they are called to be. And I'm telling you, God will hide men and women. He'll hide them until they are so rooted that they can hold the weight that God wants to put on them. So he will root you. He will take seasons of time and root you in things so that you can hold the fruit he intends for you to have. Okay? And so what I see is many times people are not rooted in the place of faith. Well, what is faith? What is real faith? Well, we can go to Hebrews 11:1, where the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is not simply just an ethereal in the spirit thing. There is an actual substance and evidence to faith. There is something tangible to faith. There is something that is real. It is not just, oh, I just believe. You know, the reality is, I hear many people say things like this, I'm just trying to believe. Well, that's actually impossible. You can't try to believe anything. You believe it or you don't believe it. You didn't try to believe that seat would hold you up this morning. You just sat down in it. And that was evidence of your belief that it would hold you up. You sitting in it is the evidence that it would hold you up. And many people live their lives on a roller coaster of things, not understanding that God is calling us to a place of faith. But how does faith manifest really in the life of a believer? Does it manifest in great declaration? Yes. Does it manifest in great decree? Yes. Does it manifest in great passion and belief that God is going to shake Edmonton and God is going to shake Canada, which I believe he's going to do, because I don't think God sent two people from Florida. Y'all ever been to Florida? Have you ever been to Florida? Have you ever traveled to Florida? I'm an educated man. I just don't like to. Oh, you guys. Have you guys ever been to Florida, A? Is that better? You guys ever been to Florida, A? Okay, good. Okay. Weather's good. Beaches are nice. Oh, a Jeep with the top off. Shikataba sapataya. Come on. I don't believe God sent two people here all the way from Florida to just have another church. I just don't believe that. I believe he sent two people, like Luke 10, into a city because he plans to visit this city. Yes? Okay. Now, because of that, I think that what we see in many people's lives is this simple lack of faith. So how does faith manifest? How does it manifest in our lives? I believe in my journey now, in my journey with the Lord, my journey more than any time, faith is manifesting as one word, rest. It's manifesting as one word, rest. What I have learned many times, even as I said, traveling in revival culture, and revival culture loves intercession, they love prayer, all good things. Yes, can we agree on that? All good things. But what I have seen many times is that many times loud intercession is just really loud vocal unbelief. And you holler because you feel the need to convince him to do what he said. When the Bible says, and we'll get to this in a minute, when the Bible says he puts his own word above his name, that God cares so much about his own integrity. You ever met anybody that you can shake their hand and agree to something, and you know that once that hand is shaken and you've agreed, nothing could break that bond? Maybe, well, I can see that not many of you said that, because we live in a culture, maybe in the north, but definitely down south across the border where I live, where a handshake really means nothing. Really, in all honesty, contracts mean nothing. Marriage vows don't even really mean that much. We live in a culture of covenant breakers, truce breakers. But God is not a man like us. And when he hands a word, okay, we're going to get this, we're going to get some. Can we do it? All right. Look, I'm going to just tell you a few scriptures. Can I do it? I don't want to. Okay, yep. I need to hurry. Okay, that's fine. No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Jesus, I'm becoming a one-point speaker, if you want to say that. If I can get one point and you actually hear it and believe it, I'm good. The Lord tells us in the scriptures a variety of things. Jeremiah 29:11 says something like this. In the old King James language, it says, I've got something for you. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of hope and a future. And this is what it says in the old King James, to give you an expected end. I've always found that phrase fascinating. That's New King James. The old King James, a future and a hope is from. The old King James says, an expected end. James chapter 5, verse number 11. I am going to turn there. Can I turn there? I think I got time. James 5 tells us the story of Job. Listen to this. James 5:11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job. Listen to this language. And you have seen the end intended by the Lord. That the Lord is very compassionate and he is merciful. You know, when we live, and I believe that this company is part of really a prophetic culture. The danger of being a part of a prophetic culture is you get so many prophecies that there begins to be a familiarity to your ear. And somebody can tell you, this is what the Lord is saying. And it's not that you dishonor it, but because you're so familiar with hearing that phrase, it will go in one ear and out the other. I want to shake you a little bit from that reality, if I can, this morning. Because I believe I want to make a statement to you. That your prophecy or your promise from God is the greatest asset to your proximity to God. Let me say what I'm saying. Your promise, I believe God has promises over the lives of multiple people, every person in this room. And this house. And those promises and prophecies are the very things that are the greatest assets to us living in a life of proximity to the Lord, which is closeness to God, which produces faith, which produces rest. And I'm going to show you why. The Bible here tells us in Jeremiah 29:11 that I have an expected end for you. James says the story of Job, you have seen the end of the Lord. Revelation 22 tells us he is the Alpha and Omega, what? The beginning and the end. He's the end. Hebrews 12:2 declares to us, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I've read the book of Revelation, and whatever you think of eschatology, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow or he's coming back 2,000 years from now, at the end of the story, we all win. Okay, whatever your perspective is on that, the reality is the end, in the end, we win. So we have this idea now from looking at a couple of scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11, James talking about Job. The entire book of Revelation tells us that we win. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is trying to get something in our minds. Let's look at this. Let's look at Psalm 139:16. If you can turn, don't turn there. I'm just going to read it to you because I want to be quick and get this in your heart. Psalm 139:16, and we'll bow tie all this together. Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Listen to this language. And in your book, they all were written. What were written? The days that were fashioned for me. This is a fascinating statement. The psalmist says that in his book, my days were already written. Okay? So, the Lord then knows how long I'm going to live. He knows when I'm going to die, which will be a long time. I got 3 babies to take care of and multiple grandbabies to spoil and give them candy at 3 in the morning, all that good stuff. I can't wait to be old. I love the idea of being old on a front porch with coffee and grandkids running around. So we see, okay, listen, look at this. And in your book, they were all written the days fashioned for me. So now we've read scriptures. I don't want to overwhelm you, but Jeremiah 20:11, an expected end, right? God has an expected end for us. It's the story of Job. We have seen the end of the Lord, that he is very merciful and full of compassion. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the psalmist tells us that all of our days have already been written in a book. That alone is a, do you hear what I'm saying? That alone is a fascinating statement, that every one of our days has already been written in a book. He has them. We may just be in the second chapter of our whole book. The story is still being written. Okay. Why is this important? Why is this important? This is important because the power of promise and the power of prophecy to give you faith and rest is this. God doesn't live in time. We live in time. We live in time to give us structure and understand how long we've been doing things and when we're supposed to be at appointments. But God does not live in time. The Bible says that even Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. It's an amazing statement that Jesus was crucified before he was ever born. Well, how's that possible? If he's not been born, how has he already been crucified? Because God lives in a dimension where there is no time. God lives in a dimension where everything, look, can I tell you this? God is not going to do something new in your life. He's already done everything he's going to do. You are simply going to become aware of what's already available that he already has done. God is not doing, what God, I feel God doing something new in my heart. He's not doing something new in your heart. He's doing something old in your heart that you were not at a place of maturity to be aware enough that that was available to you on the journey. And now that you're in a place of maturity that you can see something different, it is giving you access through honor to another level of his presence that now you can live at a different place than you used to. But that was not there before. It was always there. Revelation is not something new. It's old. We just now found it. So then we find it and get excited. Oh my God, you won't believe what, I mean, maybe you don't do this. I do this. Oh my God, what I read today. I go walk into my wife. Shikataba sakataba. Listen what God showed me this woman. Sorry, you probably don't talk like that up here in Canada. I'm a Southern, excuse me. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. I'm good. I'm going to be good. We get excited about really what was already this. And when God in prophecy and promise to us is not really, but I want you to hear me by the Spirit. I'm not denying that it's forthtelling. I'm trying to show you something different, a different aspect. You know, a mountain can look completely different to two different people when they're just standing on the two different sides. It's the same mountain. So when you hear something that may seem contradictory to Scripture, it's not always contradictory. It may just be looking at the other side of that mountain. Okay. So God gives us, he gives us through prophecy and promise. He's not really just telling our future. He is. But he's actually letting us in on a completed work. Okay. When God, what prophecy is prophecy is an opening of heaven for you to see from earth what is already completed in a dimension yet uninhabited. Okay, so God gives us a prophetic word to show us this is what already is in a different dimension. So God tells you, God tells you, you're going to be used to do whatever, preach to the nations. You're going to go this, God's going to bless your family. You can't have kids, and God told you through a prophetic word, through your own personal devotion in prayer, through worship, through a man or woman of God, through apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, whatever it is. He tells you, God said, you're going to have children and your womb is going to open up. That is not simply a future reality. It is actually a present reality, because where it is coming from, God does not live in future or past. He lives in a dimension where there is no time. So he is telling you something, not that is actually a hope in the way we, biblical hope and the way we think of hope is two different things. Not in reality that I hope that comes to pass. He's actually showing you something that already is. And now what he asks you to do, I feel something running down. I don't know if Canadians ever feel that, but I feel something running down my backside. Yeah, 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 yeah. Just go with me. Just be Southern for a minute. Can you do it? Come on. God shows us something. Oh, come on. He speaks to us something. He shows us something that is actually already done. And he lets us from earth peek into something that's already done. Now, why does he do this? That's what I figure too. I mean, I agree with Siri. You're dead on the money, Siri. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's so great. That's what I figured. Come on. I got a word for Siri. In Jesus' name, Siri. God, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, love. If I get real fired up, I'm going to be tempted to grab that man's trumpet. So move it out of the way. I'm joking. I won't do it. So God, again, we're going to bow tie this together because we're initially talking about faith and rest, okay? So God lets us peek into something that's already accomplished. God is so good, y'all. You guys, he's so good. God is so good, you guys. Yes, he's so good. He's so kind. So affectionate, so wonderful, so patient with us, so long-suffering. You want me to tell you how patient he is? There are crazy people that hate him, and he lets the sun still rise on them every morning. That's called mercy. There are people that curse his name, and they still get up every day, and they're going, it's the love of God. See, God's desire is that goodness would lead that man to repentance. And so God in his goodness, he reveals, he opens up heaven to our natural eyes, in a sense. And he lets us peek into something that is yet to be from our earthly perspective, because we live in time. But in his dimension, that's already finished. It's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Let me say this to you. This is why I don't believe when people say Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or blemish, I don't believe that means the bride has to get all the sin out. Because actually, see people don't make any theological sense. Because if we are in Christ, does the Father then look at Christ and see sin in Christ? No, he does not. We are hidden in Christ. And though we are walking through the process of holiness and sanctification again, he sees us fully cleansed like we're already on the last day. See, so this is why you got to read the Bible. What the Bible actually says in one of the Peters, first or second or third Peter, I believe it's second Peter, he says this. He says, there are men among you that are false teachers.
And he said, they eat with you while they live adulterous lives. And he said, this is what the Bible says. They are spots and blemishes. See, Jesus is not coming back for a bride where the bride itself is less sinful, because to him, hear what I'm saying by this. I'm not giving you license to do things. I'm giving you a revelation of righteousness. What Jesus is coming back for is a bride where fathers, apostolic fathers, have risen up and driven out false teachers from among his beautiful bride. Those false teachers are spots and blemishes. That's what Peter said. Okay. So God sees us. I'm telling you that. So God sees us in a corporate setting as fully holy and ready for reception. Okay. Because he doesn't live in time. We do. So when God gives us a prophecy, and I know many people in this room have received prophecy. How many people have received prophecy or a promise from God? Okay, perfect. That promise is not to make you strive more. It was funny. They were singing that song, and I leaned over to Pastor Chris, and I said, you know what's funny? I said, many times in my journey, where it said, there's no striving, there's only abiding. In my journey, I have strived to abide. I'm going to abide, man. You hear me? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this thing. I swear on everything. I'm going to abide. Crap, I didn't abide today. You don't try. You don't. It's funny, abiding, sorry, did I say something I shouldn't say? Abiding, you just are. You just be. You just be in rest. Now, this is why God gives us prophecy and promise. We're going to bow tie it all together about why God talks to us. God tells stories in the Old Testament. Okay? I'll give you an example. 10:39, perfect. Do I need to stop by 11 or do I need to hand it to you at 11? Tell me the truth. Okay, perfect. Okay. No. I follow orders now. I believe in honor. This ain't my house. It's his house. I don't walk in another man's house and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. In multiple stories, let's go with Joseph. Genesis 37, the story of Joseph begins. And in this story, Joseph has a dream. And in the dream, he sees a variety of things. He has multiple dreams, but he sees sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf of wheat. So he goes to his brothers and he tells them, guess what y'all going to do? No, it's going to be good. There's going to come a day now. There's going to come a day where there's going to come a day where all you guys, that would really take work for me to get that. I mean, I would really need a lot of practice. I would need continuous weeks of practice to say that without feeling weird. you guys, he tells them, he says, you guys are going to bow down to me. Forgive me, but that's a ballsy statement. That this guy tells his brothers, all of you are going to bow down to me. That's what he tells them. Well, they get ticked off, obviously, and they, you know the story. Most of you, if you've studied the Bible at all, if you've not, I'll just give you a little overview. They decide, well, we're not cool with that. Because everybody loves a man until he steps into his authority. This is why we so much, people love servant leadership. You know why? Because they never have to submit to it. Oh, come on. You don't talk a little while? We can talk. If you don't talk kingdom, we can talk kingdom now. Okay. In the kingdom, the playing ground is not fair. Okay. Yeah, be good. Be good. So God takes Joseph in Genesis 37. He drops a dream in his heart. Okay. In Genesis 50, we see the fulfillment of that dream where his brothers come and they actually literally bow down just as the dream said to Joseph. Of course, Joseph is not a man of pride or arrogance. He loves his brothers. It's not that. But I'm simply trying to get you to see that what happened, what was deposited in his heart came true.
I find it fascinating. You know, there's a story in the Bible where the church is praying for Peter. He's in jail. And they're praying, the church without ceasing. They're praying for Peter, right? They're praying, 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 praying. And then he comes and knocks on the door. And then they go, no, this is not Peter. Rhoda. Old Rhoda. R-H-O-D-A. What a name. Rhoda. Rhoda is going, I don't know now. Because I find it fascinating that the church actually prays for things and then is shocked when God does what they actually pray for him to do. But you're asking him to do it, and he's a good father. So when he answers, there should, oh my God, this actually happened. This actually took place. I prayed for something, and it happened. I can't believe it. This is not the way God intended for us to live. Okay? But it's in the scripture that gives us hope. Now, I tell you this because Joseph in Genesis 37 receives a dream from the Lord. Genesis 50, the dream comes to pass. But there's something that happens in the middle between those two pieces. In the middle of that, his family, his own family, sells him out and tells his father that he was murdered by an animal. He gets put in prison. He doesn't just get put in prison. He gets accused of rape by the leader of where he is at. They accuse him of rape, and he gets put in prison. Then when he gets put in prison, he meets a baker and a butler, and he thinks, he tells them, they get out, and he says, hey guys, when y'all get out, please go tell so-and-so that I'm still in here. You know what's awesome? They forget. They forget about him and leave him in jail for 2 more years. 2 more years. 2 more years they leave him in jail. Finally, he comes out and comes into the place, God, what am I trying to get you to see? Abraham gets told, you're going to have a son, Abraham. He waits and 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 he waits. Why? What do you mean? God is allowing through the prophetic word and unction of God. He's tapping into something that already is. But what I find in most people is in the middle, they live frustrated, aggravated, toxic, worrying, anxious lives. You know why? This is what I'm trying to tell you. The word of God to you through prophecy and promise is your greatest asset to your proximity to God. Why? Because it actually tells you. Listen to this. This is so fun. It tells you. This is what God tells you when he does that. He goes, hey, man, I love you. And guess what? Your future's secure. Oh, you didn't get what I said. So through prophecy and promise, he lets us peek into something that is maybe not yet to be in our natural lives on earth, but it is already done in a dimension where he lives. And he does that so he can, it's like a good dad. It's like a good dad coming to us and going, hey, you know what? You know what? Listen, you know food today? My kids never come up to me and wonder where we're going to eat today. I'm blessed because God has blessed me. Some people say, well, that's life. No, that's being prosperous. If you picked out 2 different shoes, if you could pick between 2 pair of shoes this morning, you're in the top 3% wealthiest people in the world. This morning, if you picked out 2 different, if you could have said, I want to wear that shoe, you're in the top 3% wealthiest people on the planet Earth. All of us are blessed. Okay, now what I'm trying to say is my kids never walk up to me and go, I wonder if we're going to eat today. You know why? You know why they don't do that? There's a rest in them because they believe Dad has already made available what they will have to need to eat. What I'm trying to tell you, maybe I'm not doing a good job communicating this, excuse me, but what I'm trying to get you to see is that God calls you to rest and faith because he's trying to tell you, I've already completed it. My days have already, you're not hearing what I'm saying. My days have, see, Romans tells us, the reason I use stories like Moses and Abraham or Joseph is because Romans tells us all of these, okay, let's look at this. Can we just look at it? Romans 15. Let's turn to Romans 15 real quick. Oh, good, good, good. I'm doing good on time. I'm going to quit early. Romans 15. I am sweating. Thank you, Lord. Romans 15. Let's look in verse number 4. For whatever things were written before, let's look in the New King James. If you got it, man, throw it up there. Beautiful. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. Listen to me, that we, you and I, through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
See, when I read a story like Joseph, and see, Joseph had a dream from God and went through hell. And guess what? The dream still came to pass. Abraham had a word from God. Joseph even says, you know what Joseph even says at the end of his story? He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You know why? To protect legacy and posterity in the earth. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to get you to see is this, that God puts his word above his name. And when he speaks something to you, he tells you, you know what I love? I would hate to see my kids running around worrying about where we're going to eat. You know what I love for them to do? Snuggle up beside of me. See, prophecy and promise should be the number one thing that keeps you from striving. Because it tells you, my end is already decided. So I don't have to make anything happen. See, I don't have to, oh God, what are we going to do about this? And what are we going to do? Okay, God told us that we would have a church, we would have revival in Edmonton. Da, 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 da. Okay, so that means we need to do this. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean any of that. Well, God told me that my kids, that we would be blessed financially, so I need to go get 6 jobs. And that doesn't mean, that's not what that means. What it means is God is trying to tell you something. And he's trying to tell you stories of old to give you comfort and hope and patience in process so that you would do this. Instead of striving to make it happen, you would just say, Pop, you already told me everything that's going to be. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to live every day of my life not trying to make that happen because it's actually already done, see. I'm going to live every day of my life just walking with you. See, God gives you and I these promises, these prophecies because the days of our life have already been written in a book. He's actually telling us what already is, and he's asking us, he's inviting us into a life. See, this becomes, prophecy and promise becomes your greatest asset to proximity because the destination of your life is already secured. This is why you don't focus on destiny instead of, you then focus on legacy. Because I don't need to worry about my destiny. My promise and prophecy have already declared what will be. I just simply have to walk with the one who gave me the prophecy and the promise. And just, I will walk into it with no striving. See, because the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich and adds no sorrow. If you're depressed serving God, and please, I'm not talking about chemical, clinical. I'm talking about if you are just in an emotional place of despair serving the Lord. You know why it is? You're not walking in a place of rest. Nick, will you come and just play a pad or something for me? Can I just pray 10:50? Can I just pray for the people? I just want to pray for the people. Okay. Prophecy gives you full permission to just be close because your future is completely secure and you don't have to worry about it at all. I'm telling you, come on. What? I've laid in bed with my babies at night and I've heard the voice of God speak to me about my kids and he'll tell me, this is what they'll do, son. I'll lay in bed with them at night. And my kids are 7. They're 7. They're before in July and 2. And there'll come a day they won't invite daddy to sleep with them anymore. There'll come a day sooner than later they'll be too cool for dad to sleep with them. But while they invite me into that place, I go and I lay on those little beds with my babies. And while I sit with my babies, I hear my father talk to me and tell me, this is what they'll do. I've got it all written down. I'm not pushing my, but why does he tell me that? Because you know what he's saying? He's saying, guess what, son? Your kids are okay. See, I've already got a plan for them. And I'm speaking to you about them so you can live the rest of your life in rest about your children. That never, because I've got 3 children, God's spoken to me what all 3 of them will do as adults. I don't walk around telling them that you'll be this, because I don't have to strive to make that happen. They could do something completely different, but God's word is above his name. He so cares about the integrity of his word. Let me tell you how powerful God's word is. It'll make a virgin pregnant. God does not consult your situation when he gives his word. He so believes. No, but listen, God, that's not how babies are born. Well, I don't care. My word is more powerful than natural law. And I will say something to you that makes no sense. I will speak something to you, and you can spend your life striving to make that happen, wondering, even in prayer, oh God, you said God. Or you can sit down and rest. Jesus was in a boat one time. He told his boys, he said, boys, we're going to the other side. And he's down there, the Bible says, in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And the storm starts brewing and starts going all around them, and waves start beating him. And this is what, just like we do the same thing, they get soulish. And they say, do you not care about us? And you know what they should have done? They should have just walked down in the stern and laid down with him. Because if he wasn't worried, there was no need for them to be worried either. Why was he not worried? Because out of his mouth, he had already spoken, we are going to the other side. So I wonder how many people in this room on a beautiful 9 o'clock service in Edmonton have a word from God. Oh! You have a word from God. I'm telling you, that word is your entrance into the greatest rest you've ever known, where you stand and say, no more striving. I believe you. You think it was hard for Joseph to believe when he was being accused of rape? Well, Lord, but you said, and they're accusing me of rape. Joseph, shh, I've got it. And I'm working all things for the good. Stop doubting me in the middle. I hear God telling somebody that prophetic, stop doubting me in the middle. It may look like nothing is happening according to what he said now, but I'm telling you, you're a day closer to that thing than you've ever been before. And he's telling you, don't even worry about it coming to pass. Just walk with me on the journey. Just walk. Just come on, talk to me, son. Come on. Just walk with me. Say, come on. And I say, Papa, Lord, how you doing today? What you doing? Everything good? What you want me to do today? Where you want me to go? I feel in this room this morning to pray for people that you have a word from God, but you know, if you're honest, you've been in that position of striving or trying to make it happen, or worry or anxiety or fear. I'm telling you, God intends for you to live, not experience in a service and a conference. No, to live in a place of rest and peace and knowing. I'm telling you, can I tell you something? God's called me to do many mighty things. It wouldn't matter if I totally screwed up all three services today. It does not stop God from doing what he said he's going to do in my life ever. Now, do I want to do that? No. But I'm so secure in what God told me he would do in my life. If I bomb all three services and never get invited back, and nobody thinks I'm worth my... In the South, they say worth a crap. Sorry. If no, it doesn't matter. Why? Because I have a promise from Papa. I've got a prophecy of what already is. I'm just waiting to walk into it while I'm journeying with him. So if that's you today, and you know, I've got a word, but this is really what it is. I've got a word, but I've been in worry. I want you to just stand right there where you're seated. We're going to pray. Come on, I love this. Come on, this is awesome. Come on. I want you to lift your hands and begin to worship. Oh, I feel this. Oh, I feel that. Whoa. Come on, just begin to worship. I don't care what it sounds like or what it is. Hey, listen. Look, I want you to look at me. Don't go into default mode. Just worship out of your heart. If that's tears, if it's repentance, whatever it is, just let it be real. Come on, Soraba. Uh-huh. Yes, 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 yes. Come on. We're going to believe you, Lord. We're going to lay our head down in the stern. In the middle of the storm, we'll lay our head down with you in the stern. Come on. We're going to lay with you. We're going to sit with you. We're going to talk with you. That's right. Come on. Just let him do it. I'm telling you, God's doing something deep right now. Oh, babalebo. Oh, yala mande. Come on, just take a minute. Just take a minute. Just take a moment here. Oh, shipa katalaba de libe. Rebo sobodole bidish tibada la bahaya. Shipa tilibis tibidile bahala. That's fine. Let tears flow. You know what I declare is happening to you while you let those tears flow? In each tear, unbelief is leaving your body. In each tear, worry is leaving you and faith is being replaced. Come on, right now. Come on. If any two will agree. That's right. I'm telling you, anxiety is rolling off of your shoulders today. And faith comes to you by the Spirit of Almighty God. Come on, faith. Faith. We're going to believe God, man. What he said, son, is true. Believe it. I don't care what they say about you. I don't care what's happening. What he said is true. That's right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The will and the word of the Lord. Yes. Yes. It's beautiful, Nikki. Sing. I'm almost there. Come on, sing that. Yes. Yes.
There's no
that's right.
Just abiding.
There's no
striving.
Yeah.
There's no striving. Just abiding. There's no striving.
This couple right here, man, gray, blonde hair, polo. Don't look behind. I'm talking to you. Yes. Is this your wife here? This is what I feel the Lord just saying to you today. I'm just simply calling you. I don't have a deep word. I'm calling you out for this reason. To tell you, God sees you. Me seeing you and calling you out is simply trying to tell you, God sees you. Every prayer. Every declaration. Yeah, that's right. Just let it happen. That's fine. That's fine. Every prayer. Every declaration, every promise is true. And I declare you're going to step, Mama, you're stepping into a whole new place of faith today. That's right. Yes. Love it. Love it. Why don't you join hands? Sir, if that's your wife, put her hand in yours, her left. That's right. That's right. That's right. I declare when two agree, anything's possible. And I declare what God has joined together, no man, no situation, no sir, will put asunder. I declare this marriage is unshakable, unbreakable. I declare that God has a plan before the beginning of the world. God had a plan for these two people to be together. Chris, is it okay if I tell that woman to stop praying for them, please? Ma'am, would you please just let them be for just a moment? Yes, that's fine. Just sit right there. You're not in trouble at all. I just feel to give them time. I want them to just totally be able to focus. Just you two just hold hands and close your eyes. And I believe the Lord is ministering to you right now. And there's a bond like super glue. Every part of your marriage and life that's been broken, God's putting back together. He's going to piece it back together. When you thought you lost it, He knew where you left it. And He's going to reintroduce you to yourself. Hold up, great anointing on you. Great anointing, great purpose in God. But there is a season of rootedness. Do not be weary in well-doing. Do not get discouraged. Listen to me. Listen to me. This is what God's telling. Why is God telling you this right now? Because He's trying to let you enter in today from this word to rest. God's got us. God's got us, man. Both of you just lift your hands and then I'm going to shut up and then I'm going to quit. Yes, perfect. 1103. That's all I needed to do. So in Jesus' name, I bless this man and woman. I declare over them the plans and purposes of God cannot be nullified even by their own circumstances. Just like Joseph, the dream will come to pass. Just like Abraham, the son will be born. Just like Moses and Joshua, the people will enter the promised land. Oh! It's 1103. I got to quit. Let's lift our hands and praise God. Every person, one more time. Come on. Let's lift our hands and praise God. Come on. With your voice, with your mouth, let's praise Him and tell Him how awesome He is. Come on. Yeah. Yes, Lord. You are mighty. Wow, wow, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Come on, one more time. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's no striving. Just abiding. Come on, don't stop. Come on, it's okay. Don't worry about time. Father, there's no striving. God, thank you for the word of the Lord today. Let it take root in our hearts. God, let it go deep. Make us living trees planted beside banks of rivers, God, producing fruit in every season. Thank you, thank you. Why don't you give just the Lord one more hand clap of praise? Come on, did you eat this morning? What a word. We're going to do this real quick. Bernie, if we can get a couple ushers to come up and just bring a couple offering buckets up, we're going to sow into Bryn's life, Pastor Bryn Waddell's life this morning. If you want to just sow a seed into his ministry, I want to encourage you to do that. It's good ground. He came a long way. We're going to be giving something as a house, but I want to make sure he goes back to North Carolina blessed. And I want Pastor Bryn to come back. How about you? I want him to come back. I really feel just as he was preaching, it was like a hammer just breaking up unbelief. I could feel it in the room. I could feel unbelief just being dismantled and broken up so that good seed can go into the good ground of our hearts and believe God. Man, what would it look like if we just believed God? We just believed Him. Amen. So if you want to give, you can do that. You can make a check payable to the Summit Edmonton Church. Just notate it that it's for Pastor Bryn. And you can do that on your way out too. If you don't have means with check or cash, you can do that at the giving machines and just drop it out in the foyer. And so we bless you. Can you guys thank Pastor Bryn for coming all this way? It's his first time in Canada, and I'm just thankful. Thankful, thankful. Awesome. Why don't you guys love on each other as we dismiss? We bless you. We'll see you next week. And again, no 5 p.m. service next weekend. If that's your service you typically attend, we're going to be going to the park and having a great time.